Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I have two questions for you, Mike Golic Jr., and I am very curious of your answers. Last time I asked you a question, you got really nervous and started blushing, so I'm going to hold this over your head. I have two questions, but let's first get paid. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunwike, you're getting nervous. You're sweating. And Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
I'm nervous because the last time you asked me a question on air, it was, do I want to have kids?
Yeah. This one's not as bad, but it's still a good question. So hold on. I've got two questions, one coming up. But first, what to make of the division that I guess we love to really hate? You got it. It's the NFC East. We will break down Philly's options at quarterback in about 10 minutes in advance of their Monday Night Football matchup versus the Seahawks. But I want to start with this because we had a weekend headliner. We had the GOAT and then the young GOAT. I wish it was like instead of GOAT, we could say like Yoda and Baby Yoda because that synergy is there. And yes, Shannon, I'm going to make a Star Wars reference, our producer, which he has to be super proud of me. You guys can probably see me on some of those Star Wars commercials out there, but I digress because we're talking about the Bucks taking on the Chiefs. And, you know, if you look at the score, it was 27-24, I believe, one field goal difference. And Tom Brady and the Bucks, you know, obviously they took an L. And I think, you know, the Chiefs, you said this earlier, the Chiefs were kind of generous, especially down the stretch, because this game could have been different, especially in the scoring margins. But now the Bucks, they take the L to obviously Patrick Mahomes, and they're now 7-5 with a well-timed bye. So my first question to you, Michael Jr., is there enough time remaining in the season for the Bucks to fix their flaws? Because I said this earlier, sometimes they look like a team that's high-powered, and sometimes they just look like, you know, a collection of names. You draw out of a bag, and it's like, oh, we're going to that person next. Is there enough time for them to save their season? And I will say this. The easy answer might be yes, because you have a well-timed bye this coming week. You play the Vikings, then you go to the Falcons in Atlanta, at the Lions in Detroit, and then back with the Falcons. Again, Vikings, Falcons twice, and Lions. So maybe the easy answer is yes, but still, do you think that, you know, there's time for them to fix their flaws?
You know me all too well, Chiné, because I am purveyor of the easy answer. And in this situation, I think it's the right answer in this one, because basically what you're asking is, are we going to get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we saw thrash the Green Bay Packers and kind of scare the hell out of everyone? Or are we going to get the Bucs that we've seen go up against the other top teams, one in their own division, twice in the New Orleans Saints who have swept them on the season, and then, yes, last night against the Kansas City Chiefs? And I think, Chiné, there's going to be enough time for them to be right where I expected, a team that makes the playoffs as a wild card out of that division and is capable of beating anybody when they get to the postseason. But there's a reason we picked the Saints, or at least I picked the Saints before the start of the season, to make it to the Super Bowl, is because continuity matters in these spots. And we can talk all these things about coaching and if it's Tom Brady's fault or Bruce Arians' fault. Like, man, at some point, just looking at the sheer logistics of quarterback who did one thing with one person for two decades, coming into a situation with a head coach who is an offensive mind, who is used to doing things a markedly different way, and asking them to have results in the middle of a pandemic season on par with the teams that have had continuity with also high-level players in those spots. I feel like I don't even need to be the ultimate tape grinder X's and O's guy to say that logically this makes sense. Like, the make it make sense is pretty easy for me in this situation. Tom Brady has missed throws, overthrown wide open receivers, misused some of the weapons, and that offense has looked stagnant at certain times. All of this can be true and us still be competent football folks here.
Yeah, Chiné Gold Jr. here, Chiné Ogunwike, Mike Gold Jr. talking about the Bucks being at 7-5. And it's really interesting because I was watching the game and I was so excited. So many people were excited to watch this matchup. And there was a really interesting graphic that they pulled up during the game. I don't know if you caught it. It was a graphic of all Bruce Arians quarterbacks, including Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, Jameis Winston, and even Andrew Luck. And they all had career high interceptions in their first season working with that system and Coach Arians. Did you think that was curious? Like, were you curious about that?
No, I wasn't, because what we see in these situations, because the other telling statistic that I saw last night, as Patrick Mahomes was busy launching rockets into the sun that all landed in Tyreek Hill's hands as he posted a monster fantasy day for anybody like me who has him on the squad.
56 points.
Which will, like, single-handedly win you a game. But we're watching that on one side, and we saw the stat earlier in the game before the Bucks started mounting their comeback that Tom Brady, I think at some point in the first half, had been 0 for his last 20 of passes of 20 or more air yards down the field, which is one of the staples of the Bruce Arians offense. All risk it, no, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, everything in that situation. with throws downfield, there's inherently more risk that goes along with it. So no, Chiney, I'm not surprised that there's some growing pains in that portion of the relationship with any of these quarterbacks, even one as good as Tom Brady.
So I guess this is where it gets really interesting, because last season, a lot of people would try to ascribe a lot of the fault, a lot of the problems when it came to interceptions and high numbers of those to one by the name of Jameis Winston, right? And now we're in a situation where interceptions amongst Tom, super high this year. Where's the real problem here? Because obviously something's not connecting. The messages we're hearing from Bruce Arians coming out in the media, Tom is always going to, for the most part, keep it professional. The only time he sort of loses his cool is, like, rightfully so after a bad play. We have messages coming from the coach. We have Tom, who clearly, you know, is missing some things, but is struggling in a way that we didn't really expect, even though he's 43. And then now you have a lot of new additions also on the roster. Where's the real problem line?
Chiney, I think it's somewhere in the middle of all of this. I can look at this game plan, and we talked about this. We had Dan Orlovsky on here. We'll play Dan Orlovsky, our great ESPN NFL analyst, joined us last week, and we asked him a similar question, because a lot of these problems that we've looked at with Tampa Bay's offense that we see from the outside have been consistent throughout the course of the season. This is what Dan had to say when we asked him, on the field, what is this Bucs offense not doing that other great ones are?
They're 100% dependent on a high level of execution. You know, like, there's nothing done scheme-wise or coaching-wise that kind of promotes success but minimizes the necessity for the execution of the play. There's nothing formation-wise. There's nothing scheme-wise. There's nothing motion-wise that says, okay, if I don't execute this play as well as it needs to be executed, it'll still be a successful play. And they're so dependent on those 70 snaps that they get. Those guys better execute so well. And that's a lot to ask of their players.
It is a lot, Chiney, but this is also a team that has a lot, maybe more high-quality players, more talent overall offensively than a lot of teams in the NFL can ever hope for. And we saw, again, going back to last night, they lost that game by 3 points. Yeah. They lost that. They had the ball in the
fourth
quarter.
But wasn't it generous? Wasn't it a little bit generous towards the end?
Well, a lot of us felt like maybe Kansas City took their foot off the gas, but there's also another team on the other side that makes that happen to a certain extent. And we know we've lauded this Bucs defense at times, certainly not the first half of this game during the season. But I still look at the situation and say, Chiney, yes, the first year with Bruce Arians and quarterbacks tends to look a certain way. Yes, Tom Brady's coming over and all these differences. This is something that, because they didn't have the benefit of a normal offseason, felt inevitable that they would look up and they see a class of teams defined by relationships like Sean Payton and Drew Brees that they're staring at, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that they're staring at. Hell, even Sean McVay, who is a guy that's only a couple of years removed from coaching a team to a Super Bowl with the same quarterback, with two of the best defensive players in the NFL. And so if I'm saying, yeah, those are the teams that they have not been able to get through that ceiling of. It's kind of like we talk about all the time in the NBA with a team like the Toronto Raptors for so many years. If the worst crime you have is not being able to break through the all-time greats put in your path at certain spots, I struggle to find that as a massive slight that we're throwing at this team.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, and I'm very proud of you because you made it through one question, but the second one will be interesting.
Oh, so God, what's the second one?
I got another one for you. Don't worry, I got another one for you.
What do you mean? So you tell me we're just going to tease that over and just not talk about it right now?
Well, don't be nervous and try to pressure me.
All right.
I'll do it at the right time.
All right, well, I'm very curious now, and so I'm going to try and compose myself as best I possibly can. Coming up next, hopefully, part two of this, where I get the question that's now going to bother me. This is like when you get that text where it says, hey, give me a call when you've got a couple of minutes. It's the most nerve-wracking text on planet Earth.
Yep.
Because can't this just be a text? Why do I got to call you on the phone? Nobody talks on the phone.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Yeah. I'm sweating bullets over here. So, coming up next, we'll see if we can get the answer to this question and try and figure out what the hell is going on in the NFC East. Why there actually is a reason to watch Monday Night Football tonight outside of our fantastic booth. What will actually happen on the field. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You heard it. The Eagles are on deck tonight. But first, we've got to get to question number two. Oh, yeah, I nailed that one. Chiney and Golic Jr. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Was that a good one?
She said, I did that.
Yeah, I really did that. Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golic Jr. I'm that type of person that stands in the mirror. I'm like, ooh, hit it. Like, yes, this, go off. Now, just to, like, a heads up, if you're hearing anything right now during the show, like something like a lawnmower or landscaping, that's because, you know, out here in Los Angeles right now, it's super sunny. Gorgeous, a great day to sort of trim on the outside. So that's what you're hearing. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Must be nice to live in a place that is so warm and luxurious that people can still be doing yard work and landscaping at this type of at this time of year in this economy.
Okay,
incredible.
But the only thing I really, really do miss about Connecticut, besides the Connecticut Sun fans, is also the fact that y'all seem to have your ish together when it comes to like listening to rules. So I'm like, I'm Connecticut here in my house. Okay, so. That's our little mutual synergy. Question number two before we get to the NFC League.
Yeah, so I can say, so Chinee asked me a question in the last hour that was largely football-based. It had a lot to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then she left me on red, basically saying, hey, can you give me a call real quick? The scariest text message that you can ever get. I've been waiting with bated breath for about 5 minutes now. So please, God, ask me question number two.
Yeah, Cliff. Okay, here's the question that I have for you. And speaking of relationships, super important relationships. If you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, who would be your million-dollar call? That's my question.
Listen, there's only one person that we got to go with now, and she is the person that is going to join us here in about 5-10 minutes. It's got to be Mina Kimes. For anyone that missed this on Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Chinee, the million-dollar question on the line, and we will ask Mina Kimes about this, our ESPN NFL analyst, who was, no joke, the one go-to in this case for $1 million that was going to go to charity and would be my choice of anyone here at ESPN. Wouldn't even think twice about it, Chinee. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know who my choice would be. I have a lot of options, I'm blessed to say. Like, maybe I'd call someone at, you know, our SIG desk, you know, Stats Information Group, because they tend to have all the info, and I don't know if they could do it in time. But I don't know. Maybe I think you're kind of smart, but probably I'll have to pass. But you know, we have time, because in the next 10 minutes, we will roll the clip. So make sure you hop on ESPN Plus right now. We'll roll the clip and you can see Mina save the day. But it's funny because I feel like a lot of people, especially in Philly, and I'd like, you know, our producer Cliff to corroborate this. Do you really, Cliff, and I'm going to go direct to you just because Junior actually answered the question and he wasn't nervous. See, I'm not that mean. Cliff, do you think that Jalen Hurts, is there energy in the city of Philly? You know, obviously Philly a native, Cliff is. Is it, can like Jalen Hurts be the guy right now in the middle of a season where you're one game back? Mind you, it's three wins. Can he save the day for the Eagles? Is that what like the sentiment is right now in Philly?
Only not smart people think Jalen Hurts is the right answer right now. I don't think he's the answer right now. Why is a rookie quarterback going to be put into a situation where everything is bad and then be thrust into that role to start or play a lot of snaps and then somehow be successful? That doesn't make sense. Everything is wrong with the Eagles, not just Carson Wentz. From top to bottom, from Howie to Doug to Carson to the O-line being hurt. I think this is like the 10th O-line of the season. Everything is wrong. It's not just Carson. Everything is wrong. So put Jalen Hurts in that. Let's see what happens. I don't think anything good will come out of it, but everybody will get their wish, right?
And I'd have to agree with you, Cliff, because I feel like what this situation really feels like, meaning Carson Wentz still going out there, Jalen Hurts taking more snaps this week, you know, it feels like more like peer pressure. Because we got a taste of your Philly energy when it came to Al Horford leaving the 76ers. And now you're like relief off of that contract. We got a little taste of that Philly energy. And now I sort of feel like, Junior, that this is more peer pressure, some gaffes, some missteps in the media, pressure to really correct things, or at least pressure to create a spark. And they feel like Jalen Hurts, even though he may not be prepared for this moment, is a change that maybe can make people a little bit better over there.
Janae, it's so interesting. It's time for our Monday Night Football kickoff brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Because we are not that far removed from Doug Peterson saying in front of a microphone, if we were to make the move to Jalen Hurts, I would be sending the signal to my locker room that we are giving up on the season. And now we're met with all these reports that he's taking more reps in practice here. I don't understand it, Chinee. I think Cliff stated it perfectly there in that there are so many problems. And when it comes to, we talked to Sal Palantonio about this earlier, our great ESPN NFL reporter who mentioned, this is about accountability and in the locker room showing people that the quarterback is not going to be treated different than everybody else in this situation. We all know that's not true. Like, I'm sorry, everyone who's ever laced him up understands the hierarchy on a given team, that there is more leeway afforded to certain positions and certain people in certain situations because of who they are, what they make, what they've done to the team, and the position they play in certain spots. And if I'm on the Eagles looking at this situation, I would imagine, because I don't think we've heard a lot of talk of internal strife or a locker room divided or any of those things leaking out in this situation about what the Eagles want at quarterback. We've just seen a team that's been banged up all across the board and a quarterback who has not played well enough in spots and been consistent enough at spots to maybe justify being the answer long term. But when it comes to this year, in a season that you've still got an opportunity to win the NFC East now, it would be difficult for me as a member of that locker room to say, yeah, a rookie's got that. Someone else who believes that, you know, when was asked, is this alarming? What we're hearing about this was our very own Lewis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football announcer and analyst. He was talking about this on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning. Here was his answer to the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback situation.
Now, he's been taking reps all year long. Let me back up and say he's been taking reps anyway, because, I mean, when you draft a kid in the second round, you have to get him ready to some degree, especially when he's your primary backup. You have to give a guy like that some reps in order to get comfortable in the event that he needed to play. But in the context of this situation, there's no question that Carson is on notice. There's no question about that. Because the number one, even if Jalen can't do everything that Carson can do as far as executing the entire playbook that they have installed in Philadelphia, the one thing that they can't live with anymore with Carson is him putting the rest of the team in jeopardy by turning the ball over the way he has. It's as simple as that. I mean, you know that. You play for coaches who emphasize that, that was their number one rule. Don't give it to the other team and we'll have a chance. Just don't give it to them. Carson has been better giving it to the other team, better than any other quarterback in the NFL. That's just a fact. And Doug's had enough of it. And if Doug Peterson's job is on the line and his career is on the line as far as the head coach is concerned, because his quarterback just cannot seem to not give it away, then he has no other choice but than to get the number two quarterback ready, even if he's not ready, even if he doesn't give them the best chance to execute everything that he wants to execute in that offense. Because the one thing I'm sure he would bank on in that fact is, at least he won't turn it over to the other team.
That's our Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Janae, that last part right there, that's the rub. That's the part that people can really see, because guys aren't stupid in that locker room if they think, oh, maybe our coach is coaching for his job in this situation, where all of a sudden would he look at this and say, all right, what's in the best interest of the team right now and in the best interest of my job going forward? Maybe they line up, maybe they don't, but at the very least, we acknowledge that there are competing bits of influence in this situation that are going to go into the decision-making potentially down the stretch of this season.
You know what's really funny? And get the sound ready, because I didn't think about it until, you know, our own Sal Palantonio said it. Is this a must-win division right now for the Eagles in particular? Must-win. Because if you're looking at a situation in the NFC East where Daniel Jones has a hammy situation, the Washington football team is on their third quarterback. The Cowboys are playing through their backup quarterback and have been struggling to find continuity. And now you have a quarterback that I believe last offseason went into a 4-year, $128 million, and what was it, like 105 or 108 or so, guaranteed. Should this be a must-win position? I think we're seeing the peer pressure, the pressure of that expectation influence, especially possibly tonight, seeing on Monday Night Football.
And we'll see what that pressure gives us, if it bursts pipes or if it makes diamonds on Monday Night Football against the Seahawks tonight. We'll get an answer from one of the best on that, and we'll ask the million-dollar question. That's all coming up. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Get you a friend like this. Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, streaming live right now. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pencil Performance Line. And that is a perfect segue, because it is time to phone a friend. Now, we need an expert's advice on this Monday Night Football matchup. But first, I'm literally saying phone a friend, because we head to the Shell Pencil Performance Line to chat with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL Live analyst, one of the hosts on NFL Live, who was literally a lifeline and is our lifeline every, you know, weekly here on the show, Chinee Ogwumike Jr. And when I say lifeline, I mean it, because she was the hero on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the celebrity edition, I believe. Celebrity chef David Chang was the contestant alongside Jimmy Kimmel. Now, in case you missed this, we've got you covered.
I really wanted to go this far without calling my friend Mina Kimes. Who was the first president to have electricity in the White House? Ulysses S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Chester A. Arthur, or Andrew Johnson? Grant, Harrison,
Grant.
Arthur, Johnson.
It's That would be the 1800s. I think it's probably Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison, final answer. God, no.
Just won you $1 million for your charity.
Mina, we won $1 million. We did it.
Congratulations. Oh, my God.
Can you believe this? How proud is your mom going to be? Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for her to see this. Finally, my college education is justified.
Oh my gosh, snaps, claps, all of the above. Do the Sounders, Cliff. The New York Times crossword puzzle ain't got nothing on her. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire ain't got nothing on her. I'm talking about Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, one of the hosts of NFL Live. Joining us now, Mina. Amazing, ultimate flex. How nervous, though, were you on that $1 million question?
I was so nervous, and all the blood rushed to my head. To the point where afterwards I had a headache for the rest of the day because I was joking about this on NFL Live. It's funny that like my job is on TV like analyzing these athletes at the highest level of stress and performance and pressure, because let me tell you, I cannot handle the pressure. I almost threw up like 100 times. But obviously it worked out, but it was extremely stressful. But mostly actually, if it was me, I think I would have been less stressed. I was more stressed because it was someone else, you know. Like I didn't want to let him down.
Well, and he was there on doing this on behalf of a charity here. It was the celebrity edition of
exactly.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So totally understand that. I'm curious, Mina, because what we showed was an edited version, and Jimmy Kimmel really milked this thing after he put the final answer in. What were you doing during that time period? Like, what do you do until you get the green light that this actually went well?
I looked it up after, obviously, right? So then I was kind of relieved because I didn't know if David listened to me, but I knew I was right, at least. And then I just sat around because Dave, it's not like anyone texts you to tell you. And like a few minutes went by and I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're not going to call me to let me. I didn't know if they would call me to let me know. They don't tell you anything. So I just kind of sat around, went downstairs, had a glass of water, and then my phone rang and it was Kimmel.
Talking to Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it was Kimmel on the other side. Mina, in the laundry
Classic.
List, like your career is so varied, has included so many interesting elements to it. Is this the coolest thing you've ever done?
Besides my weekly appearances on your guys' show, yeah, it's definitely up there.
Now, the ultimate important question in this, Mina, is you obviously go back and forth. We saw on the Dan Le Batard show your war for intelligent supremacy over the likes of our colleague Pablo Torre, noted Harvard grad, you noted Yale grad. So I'm curious in this instance, does this now make you officially, because it's on record, the smartest person at ESPN?
I'm far from it. I can name a bunch of people at ESPN who are much, not only smarter than me, but probably better at trivia, I think. Our PR folks put out a question, who would you ask to have help you? For me, it's probably a two-way tie between Bomani Jones and then Mike Johns, who's a producer on ESPN Daily, which is the podcast Pablo now hosts. Incredibly good at trivia, so I would go to him too.
Wow. Both intelligent and humble. Find you someone with all of these capabilities and characteristics.
Like
Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, Mina, in addition to helping people win Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you also host an NFL podcast, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, and are on NFL Live every day, so we should probably let you actually talk some football on this. I am curious, Mina. You go in tonight, you're also a noted Seahawks fan. So this game against the Philadelphia Eagles, what does this do to you? Obviously, as a Seahawks fan, I'd imagine there's trepidation going into any matchup. But when you look across the field at a team this bad in Philadelphia, do you really get nervous for a game like this?
Yes, because it's the Seahawks. Somebody was asking me, like, oh, how do you feel about this? His line is Seahawks by 6.5. And I was like, are you crazy? Have you watched the Seattle Seahawks? I don't care who they're playing. It's going to be weird and close and come down to some shenanigans. I think Seattle's going to win, but the idea that it would be a decisive, comfortable victory is beyond the scope of my imagination. That said, you're right about the Eagles. They've been very bad, particularly in offense. I think the defense occasionally still brings the heat. But, you know, I guess I'm more curious about this Eagles team than anything, given what we've been hearing all week about Jalen Hurts possibly getting more snaps, which to me is odd, guys. We talked about it a little bit on NFL Live, but it's not odd that they're considering Jalen Hurts because he was a second-round draft pick. It's odd that they're considering him as sort of this Taysom Hill type, limited snaps, not even, you know, putting together a whole drive weapon. I don't really see how that serves a broken offense. You know, it'd be very hard for this Eagles team to move on from Wentz if that's the decision they ultimately come to, whether now or during the season. But you have to actually make the decision to move on, or at least see what you have and hurt. So I don't really know what they're doing there. It seems like an organization that has a bit of disarray right now. You know, as a Seahawks fan, selfishly, I'm hoping they don't figure it out tonight.
Truer words never spoken. Appreciate the honesty from our very own Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst. And it does, Mina, it seems like a kind of a grand experiment playing out there in Philadelphia on how you manage amidst a situation where maybe your coach is starting to feel like he's coaching for his job and this team feels lost in a division that's still somehow winnable. But I want to go bigger picture in the NFL experiment because we've seen all the news happening around the Baltimore Ravens and Steelers game being postponed again. The Ravens follow-up game on Sunday against the Washington football team now move to Monday. Does any of this, Mina, make the possibility? I know we keep talking about it because we've seen other sports do it. Is there any version of a postseason bubble that you see as possible or that the NFL would even consider in light of what's happened recently with this team?
It seems like no. I could see a universe where ahead of the Super Bowl or even perhaps the championship games, the remaining four teams decide to do something like that. One thing that's very obvious to me from watching the Broncos-Saints game, if we can call it a game, on Sunday, is that teams need to have some sort of rigorous standards in place for the quarterbacks that go above and beyond what's already being required. Because what happened there, where, you know, practice squad receiver Kendall Hinton was put in a really difficult position and really, you know, rose above. I mean, the fact that he played at all is just a testament to him, because playing quarterback in the NFL was already hard. Playing on short notice with such little preparation is near impossible. But it shouldn't happen again. So the league, I think they're not going to cancel games now because they haven't so far, and they don't want to look like they have, you know, different standards for different teams. But the teams themselves need to be hyper-vigilant about what sort of who their players are being exposed to and obviously which players, because it really is unacceptable.
It really was. It was difficult to kind of watch and process that this was something that a team allowed to happen, given what we knew about this year. You can check her out on NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern and download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, if I got a million on the line, you know I'm calling you, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Please don't. Bye.
Mina Kimes with us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, coming up next, she mentioned the difficulty not being prepared going into this weekend. We feel like the Broncos qualified as unprepared for what they were getting ready for. What if I told you that they were not even close to the most unprepared person in sports this season? We'll get to that next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy Monday, and we're still here. We made it! And today, here with us on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus, we had Brooke Pryor, ESPN Steelers reporter, who took us inside the Steelers locker room after they heard the news that their game got postponed. And, you know, side note, they heard it on Twitter like the rest of us. And this is after the Ravens outbreak is trying to, you know, try to figure out how they handle the COVID situation. So right now the game is Wednesday. We also had Sal Palantonio, our own ESPN reporter. And pretty much, like, if you are from Philly or you care about the Eagles or you just want to hear someone just go off, listen to what he said. He was just, what is it, truth serum? That's what he was dropping when it came to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then, of course, we had Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, who joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Now, come for the Monday Night Football breakdown, but really stay for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because she was the lifeline, and her natural emotions about how she was nervous, she had no reason to be nervous. I mean, she's Mina, and Mina is super smart. I feel like we're, like, smart adjacent. I like to say I'm decently smart, like Stanford, Notre Dame, like Harvard, Pablo, and Yale, Mina, like we're part of the club, Junior. But anyways, all of those conversations we had with our guests, you can check out on the Chiney and Golic Junior podcast. But I feel like we're decently smart, Junior.
I feel like we are too. Notre Dame has often been called the Harvard of the Midwest, so these things make sense.
No, I haven't heard that. I've heard of Stanford being called the, you know, Harvard of the West. Like, that's sort of more of a real thing.
Let's try and tout our own nerdish credentials and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Before we get to utter nonsense, Chiney, do want to offer a sincere round of applause and congratulations. Ryan Shazier, who everyone knows, former top linebacker pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Ohio State, who suffered a traumatic spinal cord injury that ended up being the end of his football career, has also turned it into what he wants to do for others going forward. He tweeted the other day, "I'm truly excited to announce the Ryan Shazier Fund for Spinal Rehabilitation. My team and I have been working behind the scenes to find ways to continue to push forward progress for the spinal cord community. One step at a time, we will change how people view spinal injuries." Incredible stuff. Snaps around for yes. Ryan Shazier today, no doubt.
And I think they said that he was given, at the time of his injury back in 2017, a 20% chance to be able to walk again, and now he's walking again, and I think that motivation and inspiration is going to go so far, especially with those injuries that people have sustained as patients due to spinal cord. So this is beautiful. Passing it forward.
Incredibly inspiring, as Ryan Shazier has been since the moment of that injury, and he continues to pay that forward. So big congrats to Ryan on everything he's continued to accomplish. Now that we have gotten the very serious business out of the way here, it's time for utter nonsense. Chiney, we have spent so much time today following the news around the Steelers-Ravens game that has been postponed time and time again. It's now maybe going to be played on Wednesday of this week, according to Adam Schefter.
Maybe.
How about this? Adam Schefter tweeted, another ultimate 2020 note. This was 9 minutes ago. The Ravens-Steelers game is kicking off Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern because NBC wanted and was committed to broadcasting the 88th Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony on Wednesday night, per sources. Tree lighting trumped football. Chiney, at this point, I can't even pretend to be surprised.
Honestly, like, that's a big deal. I know we love football and we're in the nitty-gritty of it, but, like, that ceremony, like, it's almost like the ball drop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Cliff knows that song. It's a cultural significant moment, so I'm not surprised at all, actually.
I'll just let it be known, Cliff is not claiming you in the studio right now.
that was a great reference job right there.
Yes! Thank you, Cliff! Yes!
Unbelievable.
Shazam gotcha. Let's go!
Speaking of unbelievable moments right now, allow me to nerd out for all of my 90s children in the building.
For the Midwest, the Harvard of the Midwest, go out.
This announced, the long-awaited Super Nintendo World Land at Universal Studios Japan will now open on February 4th, 2021. The Osaka theme park announced today. It was first supposed to open last summer, obviously delayed due to the pandemic, but now fans will soon have the opportunity to go into this land. Universal Studios Japan also released some new photos of the land inside the main attraction, Mario Kart Koopa's Challenge, the highlight of that land being Bowser's Castle. Unbelievable!
That is it. Now we're good now, forever. Like, Super Nintendo was what we grew up on.
Amazing. Look what God did in this moment. 2020 has been a nightmare. Maybe this can be a part of nature healing in 2021, Chiney, for all of us that lived on this.
I have another thing. In about an hour, I'm going to go on IG Live with Travis Kelce.
Oh, about keep that same energy. Go check that out. Watch on IG Live, Chiney chopping it up with one of the best and brightest in the NFL. Chiney, promise me this, though.
Okay.
When you get on that IG Live, you're going to ask him if there's anything worse than being turned into a meme, because this weekend we saw when Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. were supposed to be the main course of this fight, it ended being all about what Jake Paul did to poor Nate Robinson in that pre-undercard fight where he knocked him out cold and turned him into the meme heard around the world.
Yeah, I don't think I'll tell him that I don't have any Chiefs players on fantasy football and that I had, like, the Bucks defense and everything was an L.
I'll keep that
to myself.
That would truly be keeping that same energy in that situation, Chiney.
check it out at Chiney Instagram Live in about an hour.
Shouting out our own social media is the energy that we will always keep around these parts. Hopefully not being knocked out the way Nate Robinson was will also be the energy that we keep. Don't get Nate Robinson is the best advice I can give you for the rest of the day. We'll see if Spain and Fitz can follow that next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.